Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. This is the Harry Potter and Spiritualism show today. I am your host, Willa White. I'm a registered Lilydale medium, and I have as my guest today David Guayasamin.
Hello.
And he's our resident Harry Potter expert.
No.
And he's been on the show before. Yeah, he dresses the part. Don't you love the people who are tuning in on Facebook Live? You're tuning in on Willa White Medium on the Facebook page.
Right.
And if you're tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to Lilydale Radio just on audio only. And for those of you who can't see David and can't see me today, we are in Gryffindor, if you look at our ties.
Yes, Gryffindor.
We have the correct red gold thing going on with that, and our sweater and our white collared shirt.
Yes, and dressed appropriately, natty, all put together.
Yes, you look beautiful.
And the wand.
Yes, he has, it looks like the official Harry Potter wand.
It is. It's not the Elder Wand yet.
Ah.
I have to win that.
Right.
This is Harry's wand.
Yes, the first one he has that has the phoenix feather in it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so those of you who can't see David, if you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, he has the Harry Potter glasses. He has the Harry Potter Z scarf. And I imagine throughout the show, he may experience head pain.
I do. I might. If we don't say his name. Yeah.
Just taking dramatic license with things.
And I will recall memories.
Yes. Ooh.
Every now and then.
So this is a really fun, almost tongue-in-cheek kind of show.
Right. It is. It is. This was just meant to be fun.
Absolutely. And the last time that I had David here was for the Christmas Carol show.
That's
which
right.
Is,
absolutely.
Hang on, I want to say that was December 20th, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the Christmas Carol and its connection with spiritualism.
Yes.
And so I'm so glad that you're here today to talk about the Harry Potter series. And if anybody wants to call in to share a Harry Potter observation or comment, the call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. So, let's talk about Harry Potter.
Are you going to be able to have a straight face?
No, I am just, this is so much fun.
You're just going to look at me all the time and burst out laughing.
Yes, very much so.
So let's talk about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Well, I gave a lecture, my whole foray into Harry Potter and Lilydale and spiritualism and you know, metaphysics and everything really occurred when I had a former middle school teacher who lives on the grounds basically talk to me as we normally do. And he asked me fundamentally, you know, why has there not been a great deal of writing about spiritualism so much anymore? And so I was really looking into it when I was doing the research about it. And, you know, you see a trend of how things change because culture and society has changed and things go on.
Yeah.
And then one thing I began to notice, you know, just professionally because some of the things I do is I do watch trends and I do a great deal of analytical research, is that I noticed that there was a really big uptick in people's acceptance of life after death, acceptance of there's other forms of life, acceptance of more things metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened around a time when something came on board that really engaged, you know, people like nothing before,
mm-hmm.
a form of media they never did before. And the media really was the Harry Potter book series. Because I know my young children, my young daughters, when it came on, they were in grade school, Scholastic really pushed the Harry Potter series to engage an entire generation of reading, and it just took off. I mean, now numbers are 500 million people worldwide, translated into 73 languages, and that's just the books. That's just It's not the movies.
Yeah.
It's not the DVDs. It's not the streaming. It's not any of that.
Wow.
And it really fundamentally took off and it engaged everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. probably somebody on this show, myself, you know, we had the experience with my daughters that they'd actually go to Borders at midnight when the next edition was coming out and wait in line with all the kids dressed up like this just to get the book.
Yeah.
And they were so captivated and enthralled with it. So I really looked at the books. What about it? What
mm-hmm.
about it? And part of the thing is, outside of the, you know, the props.
Yes, the trappings.
The trappings, the magic, the this, the that, all the different creatures and the characters and all this. There was a fundamental theme through there that I uncovered. And J.K. Rowling, the author, even, you know, basically bluntly said, which was, look, Harry Potter is about death.
Mm.
It's not about magic. It's
yeah.
about death. It's about grief. It's about loss. It's about passing over. It's about bereavement. It's about, you know, growing after death and the loss and becoming a better, different types of person and all of this.
Yes.
And so when you look at Harry Potter in a different lens like that, it starts to have a great deal of overlap with metaphysics that we talk about here in Lilydale and about spiritualism in general.
Yes.
And I talked about in my lecture, there are very broad things about it that work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when you look at the three main characters, right, Harry and Ron and Hermione, these were all people who had unique abilities
mm-hmm.
or unique experiences that they were afraid to share. In some cases, Harry was thrown under the stairs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Hermione was, you know, she was a mudblood. She was, you know, she was half wizard, half witch, and half normal normal person.
Right.
And so they all had these abilities, and they were all trying to figure out what to do with them. And I was saying, you know, there are a lot of people who come to the grounds year after year who've had similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like Hermione, want to know more.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they're reading and they're educating themselves and they're
right.
wanting to learn how to put that into practice and take it
right.
out of theory.
They recognize there's something much larger going on
yes.
than normal people do. And they come to a place like Lilydale,
mm-hmm.
where they're, what these things they believe in, they're not ostracized, they're not exceptional, they're considered normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amongst people who are like them.
Yeah.
And their fear isn't there anymore. So it's very similar to these three characters going to Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And I make the joke that, you know, Hogwarts is this place that's surrounded by an old-growth forest on a lake. And so I say, doesn't sound familiar with Lilydale, right? And I got a few chuckles out of it, but I said, you know, it's... But you start seeing little similarities like this along the way, with J.K. Rowling started talking about death the way she did.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to talk about it as death being death. It's more
mm-hmm.
death as a normal transition of life.
Yeah.
Because all these kids go through all of it as they grow older from,
mm-hmm.
you know, the grade school up until being 40.
Yeah, with each book, they're presented
right.
with life and death situations.
Yes. Yeah.
And it you know, they do talk about how it becomes
yeah.
progressively darker.
Yes.
And that's true.
Yeah,
if you read them.
It is. And I talk, for example, in the book, you know, when you go to Hogwarts, Harry and everybody else, all the other students from all the other homes, all the other houses, see ghosts all the time. See
mm.
spirits all
mm-hmm.
the time, right? Moaning Myrtle, Nearless Headless Nick, you know, all these things. And even Harry in one of the books gets invited to a banquet of spirits.
Oh, that's right.
Where
he
they're
too.
All there and,
the
and Headless Nick talks to him and talks back and forth, and you've got this entire generation of young kids, boys and girls, reading this book, finding out that talking with spirit is normal.
Yeah.
It's like having a normal conversation, which, you know, some of the basic tenets that are taught here in Lilydale is exactly that.
Right. This isn't about spook and boo.
No, it isn't.
Right.
It isn't something to be afraid of, like, you know, you're supposed to be. This is what, you know, funny is, this is what Casper the Ghost was trying to do his entire life, trying to say, I'm normal, I'm nice, don't be scared of me.
Right.
And this book sort of took it along those lines. It's,
yeah.
It's normal to see these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal to do this. And more importantly, when you see Nearless Headless Nick, when you see what he does, and when you listen to what he is in the book, he is in the afterlife as he was here.
Yeah.
The same way.
Same personality.
Same character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the basic tenets. People
keep their personality.
Exactly.
But they do progress and evolve.
Right.
And they still care about what happens here on Earth plane. That's what is interesting about the ghosts in Harry Potter, that
yes.
they, those particular spirits, they care what's happening in Hogwarts.
They do.
And they try to actively participate, support, and encourage the
right.
students that are
right.
there and the teachers.
Right.
And they really want to see Hogwarts have longevity.
Have longevity and survive and have more kids come through and all of it. Because it's their home, too.
Yeah.
It's a place where they're understood and they're accepted for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And my sense of it is that they're not there because of horrible passings necessarily. Not all of them are there for that. It's because that they love Hogwarts.
Yes.
And they want to hang out there. They want to visit. And that's a place of wonderful contact for them.
Absolutely.
And it's not, again, about something negative.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And so there are many instances when you go through the book that I was relating in broad strokes, because I didn't have that much time to talk, really how some of the things that spiritualists in Lilydale, and metaphysics anywhere, I'm not just talking about in Lilydale, but anywhere in the metaphysical, there are a great deal of commonalities and bridges between the two.
Yes.
And I said, so once you start going through some of the examples that I was going through, I said, can you see it's really a very small wonder that there is now people who were, boys and girls who are now men and women in their 20s, who were raised on Harry Potter, or the adults who read Harry Potter to those children who are now in their 40s and 50s,
right,
are now more accepting of concepts that, back in the early 60s, maybe even the early 70s when Hollywood was making all these big horror films about spirits and ghosts,
right,
are a lot more accepting of it.
Absolutely.
That there is something else going on, that there is that there is more to this world than what we see, that there is life after that, that Christianity and the Bible and the very straight and normal that they're always preached to may not be it.
Mm-hmm.
And there may not be a singular faith.
Well, I think that there's an expansion that can occur, that it's inclusive of this.
Exactly.
And here at Lilydale, we don't do spells. We're not witches.
No,
we don't really have wands.
No. I mean, we have fun teasing people every now and then about it. But when you walk through, we are as normal as any Norman Rockwell village you go through.
Yep.
We really do.
Yeah.
I mean, when I grew up and I was reading books on Dick and Jane and Sally,
mm-hmm.
They always had a lake that they could play in. They always had woods. They always had a place that they could go get ice cream in the summertime if they wanted to. They always had a playground. They always had Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so down the street who had this and this. And that's exactly what this town was like.
Yeah.
It wasn't any other different than any other normal American town, and the people were still the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just was.
Right.
So there was nothing scary about it at all. And we opened in the summer, we opened everything to the public, and it's all there. Come and see it.
For 9 or 10 weeks, depending on how the dates fall. Hi, guys. It's a wonderful experience for meditation, for healing services, for message services. So
the people I can't tell you the number of people messages that I've come in contact with when they find out that I live in Lilydale. Say, sometimes in the summertime, I just go to the lake. I go to the park at the lake, and I turn off my phone, and I just enjoy the lake. I enjoy the peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody who you meet who comes here for the first time say, I walked in there and I felt so relaxed the moment I came in. I felt so at peace. There was no noise. There was no hustle, bustle. Everything was calm and quiet and peaceful and just nice.
Mm-hmm. It's a different pace here.
And if that was their one experience that they've had out of it, great.
Yes.
Fantastic. It basically says you came here for whatever reason, and you had the experience that you want.
Yeah.
So it's not so much the message service. It's not so much this.
Right.
What is your own individual
experience?
Well,
when people come through the gates, they feel peace. And it's an amazing feeling of welcome that's here in Lilydale. And, for the Harry Potter children, as they're coming to Hogwarts, there's this sense of, we're back. And that's
back.
How people have, that's the experience many people have when they're here in Lilydale. We're back.
We're back.
Oh.
Yeah. They really do. And it's in many ways, we talk about this experience of being here. It ties into, to your point exactly, how the children, when they were going back after summer break or after Christmas break back to Hogwarts, how much they look forward to it, how much they look forward after being in the mudblood world.
Yeah.
Outside of Ron Weasley's dad, who was always fascinated by all this, gadgets we always had, right?
Yes.
How they just felt more at home being around people and things that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
They really did.
And people have that here. Whether you live here in Lilydale or you just visit, there's that opportunity for you to feel that as well. We don't have any unicorns and magical creatures.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And and we definitely don't proselytize.
No.
Well, just don't do it.
Mm-mm.
You come in and you come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it's your unique experience. It's no different than the students at Hogwarts. It's basically no different than in all the Harry Potter series. Every one of the main three characters have their own unique paths to follow.
Yeah.
Have their own unique experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of the characters on the periphery, right? Like Neville Longbottom.
Yeah.
And some of the other
Neville,
ones.
Yeah.
They all had their own unique experiences and contributions.
Mm-hmm.
They just did. Sometimes they crossed paths, sometimes they didn't. Well, sometimes they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right.
Right. That's the weaving together of stories.
Right.
And that's the uniqueness that everybody's soul or spirit brings to the world. And you can help or hinder.
Yes.
Definitely. And we have examples of in Harry Potter of different archetypal natures. You know, you have that the evil represented by the one who must not be named. and this is just representative. And then you have the archetypes of that are represented among the professors at the school, teachers at school, and the children.
Yes.
And I think you're going to find those different aspects in life, and that's a relatable thing that the author of the books really made sure she had.
You know, to coin a phrase they use in the book, she was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Rowling is absolutely brilliant. You know,
she was,
you know, in very many ways when she started out, she was, you know, a divorced mom in a coffee shop and just had this incredible imagination and this ability to tell this story because she had, you know, endured a great deal in her life
mm-hmm.
and was able just to write this book.
My initial readings of interviews that she did, she said she wrote this book. Well, she composed the story initially for her children.
Yes.
And would tell them the story just at night when they were going to bed. And then she started realizing, I need to write this down.
Yes.
And then eventually things kind of snowballed, and she said, okay, I think we need to send this out into the world. And that's, I think, the hallmark of a good story is if it's entertaining to your children first, and, you know, there were different moral things that she was willing to pass along and how to handle difficulties in life.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are elements. And that's one of the things that I love about spiritualism is that, you know, when we talk about things, it's about how do you handle things in your life through spiritual natural law and, you know, God is all there is and that we do have gifts. Mediumship and spiritual healing are expressions of God's love and that that life continues on. I think those are important tenets. And to some extent, in the Harry Potter series, that's reflected as well, with some magic sprinkled in.
Well, some magic sprinkled in because it helps bridge, you know, how does that happen?
Yeah.
So it really works. So, for example, in Harry Potter, although I don't personally believe in it, they do go through past life regressions when they pull the memory out and they put it, I don't remember what that reflecting pool was.
They can actually
go back in and see how things have happened in the past. And then even when, you know, I think the key is for some people, so when Harry, for example, knew he was going to face his own death, where he wanted to see his parents so badly, and they actually came in front of him. And he actually saw Sirius Black when he was killed, saw the spirit pass over.
Yeah.
And actually was able to talk to Sirius before. And when the transition was happening from this life into the next life, you know, he was scared like anybody else was. And they, as we have been taught many times, spirit loved ones are on the other side, waiting to help you cross over. It's not a journey by yourself.
Yeah, you don't really die alone.
and there they were, right?
Yeah.
There were his four best friends, four closest friends, his father, his mother, Sirius Black. And
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore was
that's right.
Right.
Don't want to spoil it for people.
But Tonks husband, I can't remember what his name was.
I know
the British actor was, but I don't remember.
Yes. Name. He was the one who went.
Right,
he
was the werewolf. Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was there too. And so he helped them cross over. And then when he was finally over there, there was Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his teacher who was here. His teacher was over there. And, you know, was really just talking with Harry about things.
And we do, the people in spirit that love us do visit, and they do try to assist us during different phases of life with big experiences, mm-hmm. little experiences that we're mm-hmm. going through that we may need their love and support.
Right.
Lupin, someone has
yes,
been
yes, thank you.
Lupin.
That was it. That's it. Should have thought about it with a werewolf. Yeah.
Well, we could just ask our Facebook folks.
Yeah,
they
good.
Probably know
Can
Harry
you
know Potter.
What page?
No.
What volume and page, please?
If anybody does want to call in to take part in our Harry Potter and spiritualism conversation today, right. you can call in. The call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818.
Operators are standing by.
So we're enjoying talking about Harry Potter and spiritualism, and David Glassman is my guest today, and he knows Harry Potter. He's had to live through it with his children.
I did.
And I
will admit, I was very late to Harry Potter. My wife, Christine, and my daughters read it, and she goes, you have to read it. And I said, I saw the movies. You have to read it. You have to read it.
The books are always better.
Oh, of course. And I finally did.
That's a rule.
Yeah, wow. You were right. I mean, I should have done it then. And, yeah, my bad.
Well, we were really fortunate. My older son was only a few years old when a librarian friend of mine said, the library is having a book sale, and they have first edition copies of Harry Potter, and you really need to buy them. And I was like, okay. And so I purchased them at low cost. Thank you, librarian friend. You know who you are. And I was able to read them.
Right.
Ahead of my
right.
my older son, just
yeah.
to have a sense of what he would be getting into, and it's
but
been wonderful.
But you bring up a good point with Harry Potter. I mean, some of these books, the children were able to read themselves.
Yes.
I mean, that's what Scholastic really wanted to do was, you know, one of the things I always say about Harry Potter is that it created a whole new generation of readers.
Yes.
It did. But it also created a generation of parents who would read to their children.
Yeah.
Those who weren't able to really, you know, have the... You know, the ability to sit there, or the patients, you know, 6 or 7 years old, to go through a thick book like that, maybe 8 or 9 or 10 they were able to, because
mm-hmm.
they were in chapter books.
Right.
But for younger kids. And so you had this generation of parents who read, and now those children, as I was saying earlier, are now parents themselves with
yes.
young kids,
yes.
like we are. And we're waiting to the point where with our son, he's going to be at a point where we can pick this up and start reading to him.
Yes,
every
very,
night
very
with it.
Soon.
And so it just continues to go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've had half a billion people who've read it now, can you imagine in 20 years you'll
what's
have
gonna happen?
A billion people who read it. And it's just great, even if there's not even a tie to the spiritualism per se.
Yes.
You know, it just creates for these kids a greater awareness, a greater understanding. There's just so much more to this world that you shouldn't be scared of.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people trying to provoke fear, uncertainty, and doubt into you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is provocation.
Yeah.
You're doing it for a deliberate purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But to foster the differences in people. And so basically saying, no, not really. We're all different, and that's okay.
And I think I want to mention, Harry Potter, he grows up without his parents. His parents have died tragically, and he is having to be... raised by Muggles, non-magic folk, who really are very anti-magic.
Well, his sister, his aunt,
yes.
was obviously his mother Lily's sister.
Yes, yes.
Right, and she knew a lot about it.
She knew a lot about it, but she did not
right.
want him raised in that way. And he's also raised in a very humble way, too. And so he is... if he had been raised among them, they
yeah.
would have had a greater expectation of his
yes.
of his abilities, and
well, like
he would
Ron.
Have been in the celebrity and fame space.
Well, it's like, well, yes. But, I mean, if you like Ron Weasley,
mm-hmm.
he was in a family of wizards, right,
yes.
witches and wizards. And his brothers all went to Hogwarts, and they were tremendous of, you know, the fact that they were just the big characters.
And they got to work with dragons.
And the big tricksters that were in Hogwarts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even Ron and his own family felt like he was the black sheep because he just wasn't, you know, getting it like the rest of his family did. You know?
Yes.
He seemed like a little, I don't want to say slower at it, but he just didn't seem to have grasped it as early on or as well as everybody else did.
And everybody progresses at their own individual rate. They
right.
have different representations of gifts.
Right. Right.
And so it's important that we
yes.
we acknowledge not everybody is going to
absolutely.
Express spirit communication or healing in the same ways or well, to the same degree.
They may never do it. I mean, not, you know, some people who come here, some people who investigate or research and want to be a part of the metaphysical, not all of them are going to give messages.
Right.
Some of them are just going to be healers.
Mm-hmm.
Some may not even do that. They
right.
just may be, you know, thought guidance. They just may prefer discussion.
Yeah.
They may just be someone who listens when someone wants to talk to them.
To help be a battery to others.
Exactly.
As well.
It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's all fundamentally, I think, the part of it. And the other part about Harry Potter that I really enjoyed was Harry was really about healing. In the end, it was all about healing.
Mm-hmm.
But accepting who you are and understanding you're not different. And so that's a healing in itself.
Yeah.
And when there's passing, the pain, you get healed from that.
Yeah.
When there's loss, you get healed with it. You get healed with it with love. You get healed with it with a lot of things.
And sometimes grief is a catalyst for knowing more.
Yes.
And, you know, you can channel that kind of grief, almost anger sometimes.
You can.
Into a cause for yourself or that you and for them, in honor of them, to do something really wonderful, to
yeah.
raise consciousness going forward. So there are different ways of handling grief that the books represent.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely like those aspects
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful that occurred. And I want to say the spell, the Patronum.
Yes.
Yeah, we should talk. Do you mind if we talk about the
sure,
spell?
Sure, we can do it, yes.
So in order to protect himself and his friends,
yes.
Harry needs to learn how to say have a statement or affirmation that would be
right.
the Patronum that
right.
would protect him.
From the Death Eaters.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's something that is a happy thought, that it's
yes.
something that has to be able to be sustained within
yes.
him.
Yes.
And so, to me, that's very similar to the idea of raising the vibration to be in resonance with that which is the highest and best good.
Right. That's one part.
Yes.
There's
another part to it. But this idea for us as spiritualists and mediums and healers that we really do try to raise that vibration.
Yes.
And that there's an energy that can extend outward from us.
Yes.
That is a shield, a protection, like an aura in
yes,
that sense,
yeah, yeah.
that can go around ourselves and others
yeah.
to assist them
mm-hmm.
in their path.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
he had to also think about his father.
Yes.
And that idea, which
mm-hmm.
I think Patronum, Latin-wise, comes from father, doesn't it? I think Patronum.
It could have. It's rooted.
It
in it. Yeah, it really
rooted
could.
In the father
yeah.
Connection. So,
yeah.
which is also about God.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and connecting to that space, and that when we do that, it's very powerful
mm-hmm.
and very effective.
Yes.
And what was the comment you wanted to say about that?
The white light.
Yes, the white light.
The Patronum is a white light.
Yes, it is.
The white light, and I think when you and many of the meditations I've heard being led, and to your point, you know, when mediums are going through their training, when
mm-hmm.
they're going through what they do to become registered and just to become mediums, they're often taught about the white light.
Yes.
The white light. And the Patronus is, you know, it's a white light that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I just said, J.K. Rowling, you know, maybe it's uncanny, maybe it's me.
And those were deliberate. And
right.
reading in the interviews
right.
that she did later, those were deliberate things that she had in the story that
absolutely.
She played there.
And so this was, again, another tie-in, very symbolic. In
mm.
some ways, you know, if you're reading Harry Potter, you don't see it. If you understand a little bit about the metaphysical, about Lily Dale, about the larger contexts,
yes.
you see the definite tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
You see it. It's there.
And she does even reference Bible verses.
Yes.
In different parts of the books.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is wonderful because it gives that kind of basis.
It does.
Spiritual basis.
It does.
That I think it's wonderful if our children can have that,
mm-hmm.
Especially when they're dealing with difficulties in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the Patronus.
The Patronus is one, right.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And I think the other part about Harry that I really found very catching, and you and I were talking about before we came on, was, you know, J.K. Rowling did a lot of caricatures in the book.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
she just took them off to a certain comic level to make them more approachable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just to make them not so scary, just to make them normal, right?
Yeah.
To make them approachable. Everybody hates spiders, but she sort of took it away in a lot of ways. She sort of toned it down so it wasn't. It was bad, you know. They were evil. They were monsters. But when you know, Hagrid said, no. I raised it when it was little and it was kind of nice, that sort of thing. It sort of took it away a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as the fear.
Yes.
But one of the things I really appreciated about what J.K. was doing, coming from a family of mediums, coming from the town that I grew up in.
Oh, I need to say this. You're how many generations spiritualist again?
Six.
Six generation spiritualist, David
six.
Is.
That she didn't call it fortune telling, the mediumship, the work that you do.
Yeah.
The work my mother and my aunts do and my sister and just about everybody that I grew up with that I love and respect incredibly. She didn't downplay it. She didn't ostracize it. She didn't make it evil. She didn't make it sensational. What she did, now she made the character a little sensational.
Well, the one,
Professor
yeah.
Trelawney.
Yeah.
Okay, and I love Emma Thompson when she did it, you know, the big Coke bottle glasses, the whole thing. I get that.
And but, she's a little spacey out.
But she called it, and I brought this out in my talk, she called it divination.
Mm-hmm.
Divination. And so when you look at the etymology of the word, it basically means divine.
Yes.
Okay, right. it means, you know, the forecasting, it's the gift to foresee. The divine gift to foresee. And when you read just about any spiritualist church, one of the things they basically say is that mediumship is a divine attribute.
Mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
a divine attribute.
Yes.
And so here it is, and this again, throughout this book, she's talking about the ability to foresee,
yes.
the ability to get messages, the ability to do these things, being divine,
mm-hmm.
divination. She doesn't call it fortune telling. She doesn't call it mediumship. She calls it divination,
yes.
divine. And it is divine.
Expressions of God's love.
Exactly. And so I found that to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just wish that in some cases, whether it's here or in other areas of the metaphysical, they would talk about that a little bit more, saying,
mm-hmm.
we call it mediumship, but it's really divine.
Yeah.
And this is another word for it. And that's maybe how you need to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I got a reading, you know, I had some divination given to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I always look at spirit contact readings and message work that I do as sacred.
Yes.
And it can be fun.
Yes.
because
if they were characters here, the characters over there,
yeah.
and they're going to have it come over.
The personality
yeah.
and some of the things that they say. Just like, oh. No.
Well, I know, because you've obviously got to filter some of it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Occasionally I do.
Yes.
But it's a sacred experience. And as a
for
medium, I'm
people.
Raising my
yeah.
vibration to
yeah.
be able to
yeah.
to do that
you
for
are.
The highest and best good.
You are.
So I like your point about divination.
Well, I think it's important. And I think some people just, you know, expect it. Like it's, like, I don't know, like it's, like you're translating a foreign language, some other kind of skill.
Yeah.
And it's not really all that shallow.
That's an
it's
element.
A great deal more to
that's
it.
That's right.
It really
and
is.
There's a symbolic language with spirit that emerges.
Yeah.
And the correct interpretation of those things.
Yeah.
And how to guide that
mm-hmm.
is important as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are all elements of Harry Potter, and I definitely think they're valuable to talk about today.
I think there are too.
Very much so. I know time's chucking by here. My goodness,
well,
it's amazing how it all happens like this. But I wanted to give anybody an opportunity who wants to call in and take part in a conversation about Harry Potter and spiritualism. And you can call in at 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818.
Well,
what are some other things you wanted to chat about with Harry Potter? Spiritualism.
Go
ahead. Okay. I was
it's your show, so I don't want to jump all over.
Well, I'll just mention this, and then you can talk about another thing. The idea of mentorship in mediumship,
yes.
It can be very important. Having the right teachers for the job That's wonderful. And, mm-hmm. and in Harry's case, he does have the benefit of the headmaster, Dumbledore,
yes. Yes.
who takes him under the wing, recognizes the importance that, that Harry is going to play in many of the events to come,
mm-hmm.
and he starts intense training with him. And I do feel that when a person is truly ready, they it starts to be a huge part of who they are. I
mm-hmm.
know for myself in beginning with mediumship in a purposeful way,
mm-hmm.
I started when I was in college attending classes, development circle classes here in Lilydale,
mm-hmm.
and having particular people that were my mentors throughout all of that,
mm-hmm.
and then reading books. I was kind of a combination of Hermione, you know, reading like a sponge.
Sure.
To it.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, and
tremendous amount of people.
And also being in the application mode of, okay, we're going to do this now.
Yeah.
And the wonderful uplifting messages that were coming through in circles, and I could feel those in spirit helping and assisting me
yes.
in my progression
yes.
and my mentors here on the earth plane
mm-hmm.
that also assisted. And so you will find the right teachers that show up in your own mediumship development or healing development journeys that will assist you in that intense way.
Right. In many ways, it's no different than your current life path here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You meet different people at different times, different teachers at different times, different
yeah.
managers, different best friends, different neighbors who help you along a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say necessarily that you outgrow them, but you basically, you know, you go on to the next, you go on
yeah.
to the next, and they go on to the next too.
Yeah.
It's just how life is.
Absolutely.
Just how it goes. And if you're fortunate, like I am, you know, you can really have a great, you know, partner or best friend that stays you for a long time for
yeah.
the rest of your life. In other cases, you're surrounded by all these who leave. And one of the wonderful things I like about Lilydale is that whenever I came back, a lot of them came back too. And they're still here.
Yeah.
So it was really nice, that continuity.
It's
it never
nice
ends.
That.
It never ends.
It never ends.
It never ends.
And so for Harry, his relationship with the various teachers
mm-hmm.
that were important to him for his spiritual mm-hmm. growth and for his understanding of depth of soul
mm-hmm.
choices that had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's wonderful that all of those played a part
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
the Harry Potter books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certainly with Dumbledore, he knows something big's coming. And so a lot of times we will receive trainings early on in our lives that will assist us later
yes.
to be stronger in the moment when that comes.
And we may not realize at the time we're getting it.
Yes.
But it will be there.
At first, he didn't understand why Dumbledore was doubling down here and,
right.
in the
he
training.
Didn't.
Dumbledore did not explain that to him.
Right.
It was just sort of, okay, we're going to do this.
Right.
And then as time approached, he realized how valuable it was that he did this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see someone's asking, I might have missed it, but what about the fact that spirit is always with you? Harry's parents, when he needs them most, are there. That
yes.
is very true.
That's very true. And
we did talk about
that. We touched on it briefly about
mm-hmm.
when Harry was ready to pass over, his family was there.
Yeah.
To answer his fears, like, is it going to hurt? I'm sorry I didn't do more, or I missed you all. And he sees it. And, you know, he sees them a couple of other times in the books prior.
Mm-hmm.
He does see them. But they are there.
And when it comes to spirit contact, it's not about having them around you 24/7.
Yes.
But they do show up for those important moments. And they do that with great love. And
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he had that experience with his parents. It kind of was a clearing of energy for him.
It was a clearing of energy and a healing for him
mm-hmm.
to know, you know, that there, as we are, as we here and other people always like to say, outside of Lilydale, right?
Yes.
You know, the John Edwards, the James Lund Frogs that you know, the
yes.
Long Island medium, the Hollywood medium, all these people, they're never far away. They're
mm-hmm.
always there.
Yes.
They're always, always there.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on a bit, you know,
okay.
about the impact of what Harry Potter has had. I mean, we talked about it briefly, how it was really... And we talk about how it affects spiritualism.
Yes.
And we talk briefly about how it was really made at this generation of people accepting to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really did is also culturally, beyond the half a billion people who read it, began to normalize a lot of the phenomena.
That's true.
Began to accept it to the point where it was acceptable and it wasn't afraid anymore. And so if you think about Harry Potter in terms of being something cultural as far as entertainment, mm-hmm. I mean, basically it is a fictional story.
Yes.
It is a book. It is a media. It makes it entertainment. What other impacts would it have had? And I argue, as I did in Christmas Carol, it has huge impacts, especially when you think about Disney.
Yeah.
Right? Walt Disney, as I said, the world's safest brand in the world. People, parents, look at Disney product.
Mostly.
For the most part, they look at Disney product and Disney film as being incredibly safe
mm-hmm.
to have their children watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at Disney films since Harry Potter came on, you start seeing integration of spirit more and more in them.
There
you see it in the Scottish story of Brave, where the princess actually sees the spirit of the one prince that she released after, you know, in this Stonehenge sort of circle.
Yes.
She sees that spirit. She sees the will of the wisp, and she talks about how they lead you on your way.
Mm-hmm.
References,
mm-hmm.
again, the spirit to other phenomena we see. Recently, I talk about Coco.
Coco!
Coco, which is a wonderful movie about Coco, and this little boy actually goes over to the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, on the Day of the Dead.
And the Day of the Dead, and sees.
Which we did a show about.
Right, and interacts with them. Now, this was a huge story about life after death and coming back and having the impact on your loved ones over there, and they're talking to you and they're helping you
mm-hmm.
because he really wanted to find his music. He really wanted to help.
Yes, he did.
Right.
But I don't feel it's necessary for a person here on the earth plane to have a picture of you.
Right.
Or you disappear. Because pictures have only been around.
Yes. Since like 1854.
Right.
But they're great.
But the idea of being remembered.
Being remembered. And sometimes people do need that trigger to see remembered. I mean, you and I see it all the time. We'll find a piece of memorabilia about our past. And when we pick it up, everything will come flooding back to
us. Yes.
Like
the connection of energy.
Back to it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pictures of props. A lot of what went on in Coco was a prop. But I think the basic storyline was the same. I do not believe that if Harry Potter was not there, Coco would have been made.
Ah.
Because the acceptance of life after death, of being able to talk to spirit loved ones, not scary, even though they're all skeletons.
Right.
They're not scary. They're approachable. They're human. Their characters remain the same. They have the same pains, the same fears, the same this, the same that. I don't think it would have happened if Harry Potter hadn't really began to normalize.
What do you all think? Do you think that's true?
And I think it's very true, because when you look at John Edwards, look at James von Prague, look at Long Island Medium.
I think a lot was going on all around that time.
Exactly.
That contributed.
Look at the Hollywood Medium right now. Look at, you know, going to see a medium, having a medium on a cable show is kind of normal now.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think it's a lot to do with
Harry Potter
and how it really did that.
I think it's a huge contributing factor, as you say. I do agree with that. And there are other Disney films that have come out, even Pixar films that have come out that also are supportive with having those connections with spirit and those
Absolutely.
That have passed over.
Moana was one.
Yeah, Moana.
Moana was one where the grandmother came back and she saw all the ancestors and they helped her, when she needed them? They appeared when she needed them
mm-hmm.
to help her guide her way.
Yes.
Exactly, right?
Yes. And so those guidance systems are still intact. Even if we don't always have awareness or feel them at that particular time,
mm-hmm.
those are definitely part of it.
It's difficult at times.
It can be very difficult.
To remember that they're there.
You know, sometimes we get very embroiled in our lives. We become upset about things, and it's easier to feel spirit when we're in a joyful, centered place.
Yes.
When we're feeling very connected with all that is, with God, in that sense. So it's easy to pick up those kinds of messages. But about these things, it can be very challenging to accept that somebody else won't like what we have to say, and how do we address all of that?
Well, we got to wrap up here. I think we're.
I know. I know.
The only thing I can say about
fast.
Harry Potter and the entire series is a little quip I read. When you finish a good book or a good series and you're done with it, you feel like you lost a best friend.
Right. Yep.
I think it's very true with Harry Potter with a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
When it ends, you wish it didn't end, but you understand that it has to, because Harry's now got to go on. He's got a family. His son is now going to Hogwarts, and...
I agree.
But the lessons never learn.
And it's something that, with Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
when we come to terms with the spirit contact that's in there and the ability for magical things to happen in our life,
mm-hmm.
and I think it opens us to that which is our higher self,
yep.
and to our soul,
yep.
and so we're not just this body, we're not just what happens to us,
mm-hmm.
we are living beyond that constantly. If there's anything else you wanted to add about this.
No, I think
we covered a lot of ground.
We did.
Okay.
It's a lot to cover.
It is a lot to cover.
But I would just say, now that we've had this conversation, whenever you see a Harry Potter movie, or if you start picking the book up and reading it to your own children or your grandchildren, just now think about it, the elements that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Very special. I'm so glad that we were able to talk about this today. I want to mention, in a couple weeks, we'll be talking about experiencing the miraculous. My father will be on the show, and in the shows to come, we'll be getting ready for the Lilydale summer season. We're going to talk about Buddhism. We're going to talk about Spiritism, some of those important things that are happening this summer season. So you can stay tuned for those great shows that are coming down the pike, and I'll have some great guests on with that. I just want to remind everyone that we will be going on hiatus. The Lilydale Radio shows will be on hiatus for the summer season, and we'll be back in the autumn. And you can certainly check my website, willowwhite.com, for different events that I'm doing. And I will be trying to do some other Facebook Lives in the summer as well at Willow White Medium on Facebook. And I'm so glad that you were able to share with us today.
Absolutely.
Harry Potter and Spiritualism. It's great to have you on the show today, David.
Thank you. It's fun. This is fun. We talk about fun things.
We do talk about fun things.
We just talk about fun things.
And I really appreciate you dressing up and playing the part.
I appreciate you dressing up.
Yeah.
Look at that. We are Gryffindor, right?
We are Gryffindor. Hear
That's
us roar.
Right. We're not Slytherin. We're not Hufflepuff.
That's right. As we were joking before the show, there is a snobbery when it comes to certain houses.
Full.
Like, what house is best? What
That's
house
right.
do you want to be in?
That's right.
And those are also parts of life. Finding your clan.
Finding your clan. Finding your tribe. Right? That's all about.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in today.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate your time and attention. Very good.